benedictions, the Bible benedictions. And when I was growing up, they would say, we're going to say the benediction. That's when everybody was ready to go to Waffle House. Amen. At the benediction. So, but Quentin is the manager at Waffle House. That's why I threw that in there. But the Bible actually contains several benedictions at the conclusion of some messages, all throughout the Word of God. And so we use these at the conclusion of services. And so a benediction is really a blessing at the conclusion of a gathering or a meeting. Or the word benediction, I remind you, is two Latin words. Bene, which means benefit or well. And diction, decree, which means to decree. And we need to decree some things. Amen. I decree things over my family, over my life, over my future, over my finances, over my church. And we've talked about the benediction of favor. The Lord bless you and keep you. We talked about the benediction of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In fact, I'm going to try to print all these up at the conclusion of the sermon series and put them in some lamination so you can tuck them in your Bible. And when you're having a tough day, and we could also maybe take a picture of it. You can download it on your Facebook or Instagram. So when you're having a tough day, these benedictions are decrees of blessing over your life. Then we talked about the benediction of the Trinity, the God of the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Last Sunday, we talked about the benediction of grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And so would you stand with me tonight and go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23, as we come tonight to the benediction of peace. This is the conclusion of the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23. And I want you to hold your Bible open, but I want you to hold one hand up because this is a blessing. Now, are you ready? We're going to start with a benediction. We're going to end with it. And read it out loud with me. Ready? Read. Ephesians 6, 23. It says, "Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Thank you tonight for peace, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're blessed and highly favored tonight. I said you're blessed and highly favored tonight. Amen. Praise God. Now I'm going to see how good you are at completing a sentence. So finish this sentence. Sentence number one. I'm ready to throw in the towel. All right. Sentence number two. I'm just a bundle of. All right. Sentence three. I'm at my wits. And you might not catch this one, but some people say that. I'm resigning from the human. Okay. You got it 100% out there. You're the most uptight audience I've ever seen in my life. But how many of you know even the upright can get uptight? And so tonight's benediction comes at the conclusion of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Now we're reading from Ephesians chapter 6. And if you know a lot about the Bible and the Word of God, you've been in it, you know that in the previous part of Ephesians 6, we find that great chapter where Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes with the preparation of the gospel, and the shield of faith. And so he's in a combat mode here in these preceding verses. And the truth of the matter is, thank God we're on our way to heaven, but how many of you know that on the way to heaven, there's going to be a fight in the flight. Can I get an amen? You see, we have a fight to our faith. We have the external foe of the world, the external woe of the world, billboards and commercials on television and the external elements of this world. We have the internal foe of the flesh. Our own thoughts sometimes trouble us. We're in a dying and decaying body. We've been programmed to be a sinner when we were born until we became born again. So we have the external foe of the world, the internal foe of the flesh, and they have the internal infernal foe of the devil. He is fighting against us, fighting against your family, fighting against the church. And so we know that we are in for a fight. Turn around and tell somebody, you're in for a fight. Oh, but that's where the benediction of peace comes in. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Because I want you to know how we can have peace and how we can have Paul talking about fighting. And then he turns around and blesses us. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father. How can we understand that? Because listen, the truth of the matter is that in this fight, we're fighting for the victory. We're not fighting for the victory. We're fighting from the victory. So let me explain it to you this way. In the World Series, there's 7 games. If you win 4 of the 7 games, you've already won. Can I get a witness? Normally, they stop playing after whoever wins the 4th game. But let's just say in the World Series of life, we have to play all 7 games until we die. But I want you to know, here's the good news, that the 4 of the games of your life have already been won. Jesus Christ did the knockout punch on Calvary. And so really, in the World Series of life, we are already won. Even if I lose all 3 games, even if they play all 7 games, whoever wins 4, if the same team turns around and loses the last 3, it doesn't matter. Whoever's won 4 has won the World Series. And I want you to know I'm fighting from victory because the victory has already been won. And I just get a little bit more delight by winning game number 5 and game number 6. And if I stumble in game number 6, there's a game number 7. And before it's all said and done, I'm going to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful," because we've already won the war. So let's pick up the weapons and fight for our family, fight for our country, fight for our blessings, fight for the promises of God. It's a call to arms. We are already victorious. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus. Give him a hand of praise here tonight for the victory that's already been won. Here's another one, an up-to-date illustration. I thought about some of you don't watch baseball, but you might watch pro wrestling. And how many of you know pro wrestlers? They're it's fake. They've already determined who's going to win that game. And so all the guys have got to do is go out there and just knock somebody over the head with a chair and throw them out of the ring and get them up and hit them in the belly. But one of those guys already knows he's going to win. And my friend, I'm not telling you you're not going to take a hit over the head every now and then. I'm not telling you it's going to be pretty. It might be messy. But understand the benediction of peace. I can have peace in the midst of the storm. My God is with me in the ring of life. And I'm going to win. It's said and done. Hold up the victor's crown because of what the Lord has already done. Can you say amen? Now look at John chapter 16, verse 33. This is very similar to what Jesus spoke. Almost this could be a benediction in and of itself. If you're there, say amen. These things have I spoken unto you that you might have what? In the world you shall have what? But what? I have what? You see, we're living in a time of worry. How many of you will be honest and say, I'm dealing with a lot of worry right now? Come on, just be honest. There's some things I'm worried about. Many of us are disturbed in our homes. Many marriages are having problems. Some people, it looks like, instead of being married by the justice of peace, they were married by the secretary of war. It's troublesome. No peace. You see, the average person is worried. And the biography of most people's lives is worry, hurry, and then get buried. I heard about a Sunday school child who was riding a bus home, and they had given him, every one of them, a verse of scripture. And her verse of scripture was Mark 11, verse 22, which says, "Have faith in God." The little girl got off the bus at the house, and she got off where there was a big gust of wind. Her piece of paper blew away, and Mama said, "What happened?" And she said, "Oh, my faith in God just blew away." And my friend, the winds of doubt and the winds of disease and the winds of death, the winds of discouragement, it can cause our faith at times to blow away. But do you know the word worry literally means to pull apart? When you're worried, you're divided. You're pulling apart. But you know what the word peace means? It really means to join together. And that's why Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace." In the world, you're going to be pulled apart. But in my world, I'm putting the pieces all together. I wish you'd lift your hand and praise Him and receive the benediction of peace. Peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit. And forever I pray in fathomless billows of love. Give Him a hand of praise for the benediction of peace tonight. Now I want to give you the source of peace. Point one, the source of peace. No, go back to John 16, 33. "These things have I spoken." Somebody say, spoken. That's the source of your peace, is the Word of God. Say amen. Roll with me here. Psalm 29 and 11. "The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." You know, my family wasn't churched. I'm talking about my immediate family. My great-grandmother was, but my immediate family and my some of my aunts and my grandmother, not my great-grandmother, but grandmother, they'd get into a fit and they'd be like, "I'm nervous. I'm just nervous." I mean, it wasn't a physical, it wasn't a thing to where they had to go to the doctor. "My nerves are about shot. I got to take a pill. I got to calm down." You know what? The problem was they needed Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you something. God's will is not for you to run around, "What am I going to do?" in a panic and nervous. My goodness, you are to, in peace, you will possess your soul. He said in Psalm 56 and verse 3, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace." Somebody say, "Great peace have they which love thine, and nothing shall..." Have you been offended lately? Has somebody ruffled your feathers lately? Well, you know what's happening? Maybe it's because your peace is lacking in your life. When you're at peace with God, people can't mess you up. People can't disturb you. Man, I'm at peace with God, and oh, this might be a little something I'm concerned about. Oh, but look at Isaiah 26 and verse 3. I love this one. "Thou would keep him in" what? "Perfect peace," but you got to do something. Whose what? "Mind is stay." Oh, you can't watch the afternoon soap operas and stay in perfect peace. Here's a good one. You can't watch fake news and stay in. But I said it. Yes, I did, because it's exactly what it is. Thank you, Donald Trump, for calling it for what it is. Oh, it is fake news. You cannot stay in perfect peace until your mind is stayed upon thee. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, my favorite scripture. Philippians 4 says, "And the peace of God, which what? Passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." You know, when there's an emergency, we dial what? Well, I'm going to give you some Bible emergency numbers or scriptures. If you get in the, when you're facing danger, just dial up Psalm 91. When God feels far from you, dial up Psalm 139. "Thou knowest me from the rising, my down setting." I told somebody that last night. When you don't feel loved, call up Romans 8:38 through 39. "What shall separate us from the love of God?" When you have sin, dial up 1 John 1 and 8 if we confess our sins. If people have failed you, call on Psalms 27. When your faith needs encouraging, call up or dial up Hebrews 11. When you're scared, read or dial up Psalm 23. When you're worried, read Matthew 6, 25 through 34. When you're hurt, read Colossians 3, 12 through 17. When you feel no one's on your side, dial up Romans 8, 31 through 39 again. When you're seeking rest, dial up Matthew 11, 25. When you're suffering, go back to Romans chapter 8. When you're failing, read Psalm 121. When you need courage, read Joshua chapter 1. "This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night, and that you shall make your way. Then shall I make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Be thou strong and very courageous, for the Lord thy God is with thee." When you're in need, Philippians chapter 4 says, "My God shall meet all my need." When you're hated, persecuted because of your faith, read John 15. When you're losing hope, read 2 Thessalonians 2. When you don't understand what God is doing, read Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. I want you to know the source of peace is the Word of God. And His Word will never change. His Word will endure forever. Well, I'm worried about what somebody said. Why don't you more worry about what, not worry about because of what God has said. Amen. The source of His peace. Be of good cheer. You know what we need to do with all of our cares? We need to turn them into prayers. Because if there's anything worth worrying about, it is worth praying about. And if it's not worth praying about, y'all good preachers out there tonight. Don't you love the Word of God? If a care is too small to be made into a prayer, it is too small to be made into a burden. Casting all your care upon you. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting. Casting, I-N-G, means it's something you continually do. Casting all our care upon Him. The benediction of peace, the source of peace. The Word of God. Number two, notice the place of peace. There's two contrasts. Go back to John chapter 16 and 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Notice two places here. In the world you shall have what? So there's the place of being in the world, but there's the place of being in Jesus. And where you are, the place makes a lot of difference. This world is not a place of peace. In 5,600 years of recorded history, there have only been 292 years of peace. In that 5,600 years, 14,532 wars have been fought, averaging 2.6 years each, and 3.6 billion people have been killed. Out of 185 generations, only 10 have seen unbroken peace despite the signing of 8,000 peace treaties. The 20th century alone experienced two world wars in which more than 60 million people died, a level of carnage never experienced in any previous century. Thankfully, we've avoided the Third World War, but it has been replaced by what you know as terrorism, jihad, micro-wars, irregular warfare on almost every continent on the planet. In this world, there's strife and turmoil and tumult and people in anger and angst on our jobs, in our schools, school shootings. And it's amazing. We should be talking about school prayer and school revival, but we're talking about school shootings. And we're talking about agendas that Sally has two mommies. And we can't talk about the truths of the word of the Lord. People say, well, people make some statements sometimes. Well, I don't want my teacher to teach my child to pray. I don't either. But I want my child to pray. And maybe they can teach the teacher to pray. Can I get a witness out there? I don't care who prays to who. You say, well, the Muslims will have to pray if we have to pray in school. I don't care. Let the Muslims pray all they want to. Let me tell you something. On the top of Mount Carmel, they prayed to their God. They had their right to do that. But old Elijah got to pray in too. And I'll tell you what, that's where something happened. Let them pray all they want to. Let them weep and wail and cut themselves. But let a child of God call on the name of the Lord. And it'll change. I'm in for prayer. Hallelujah. My goodness, I'm telling you, the silliest, craziest stuff is out there. You get on Facebook, you might lose your peace. There's this fellow on Facebook, I ain't gonna call his name, but he has gotten on into this doctrine of, I ain't even gonna call it a doctrine, Calvinism, where all that. And he put up some dumb statement up there. It says that that you can't get saved by deciding to get saved. Or the thing up there said something about you can't decide to get saved. And I put down there, well, I did decide to get saved. And I have decided. And I quoted the song, To Follow Jesus. No turning back. He took the post down. I offended his little heart. I'm telling you right now. I'm like, come on, people. Come on, people. Are you giving me a cut? I ain't going to let stuff disturb me. somebody's tweet, somebody's post, somebody's email, some news report. My peace is not going to be disturbed. You know what they put? Do not disturb, because I'm in a place. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Really, I'm in the world, but I'm in Him, because you're either in the world or in Him. The Bible says, Jesus said, because in this world you shall have tribulation, but in me you shall have peace. Somebody say amen here tonight. Hallelujah. Peace, listen, is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of Jesus in the midst of your problems. The reason why most people in life never find peace is because they're looking for it. You will never find peace looking for peace. Really? You'll only find peace when you look for Jesus. You got to be in Jesus. John Wesley said, when I looked to Jesus, the dove of peace flew into my heart. But when I looked at the dove of peace, it flew away. The great Christian Corrie ten Boom once said, when I looked at the world, I get distressed. When I looked at myself, I get depressed. But when I look at Jesus, I am at rest. Everybody is looking for peace. And most people are looking for in every place but the right place. Some people are trying to find peace in pills. Others are trying to find it in pleasure. Many are trying to find it in possessions. But the only real peace is in a person. And if you know Jesus and you are in Jesus, you can have and be blessed with peace. And if you are, give Him a hand of praise here tonight for the source of peace and the place of peace. The source of peace is His word. Say amen. The place of peace is His presence. Say amen. And then look at the triumph. Point three. The promise of peace. I love this. Go back to John 16:33. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Somebody say amen. In the world you shall have some problems. But be of... No. Notice these. 1, 2, 3. Next three words. I have overcome. By the way, He had not even yet died and rose from the dead. But He is speaking prophetically. Yeah, I know I'm going to die, but I've already overcome. Sort of like winning the World Series. It's already won. Listen, He said, He didn't say, I might overcome. He didn't say, I'm going to give it my best shot and see what happens. He didn't say, I'll do my best and we'll see. He said, I'm going to overcome. I have overcome the world. It's not up for debate. Listen, I can have peace because He has already won it for me. And I don't need to let anything rob me of that. Please hear me tonight. That's one of the ways we witness to our world. When people are all messed up. I know sometimes my manager, he is all disturbed. We can't meet the budget. We're not making the numbers. And I'm like, hey man, peace. God's going to see us through. We're going to be all right. He looks at me and said, you're fired. No, I'm just kidding. And then I get into some tribulation. No, I'm just kidding. But the point is this. At the end of the day, it's going to be all right. Because he didn't say, I'm going to try this and I'll see if I can get around. He said, I have overcome the world. I have done it. And listen, where He's been, I can win. You ever heard that phrase, been there and got a t-shirt? That is such an old phrase. I'm dating myself and every one of you in here too. I'm telling you that came out in the 90s. Been there, done that, gotten a t-shirt. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus, I preached a whole sermon on this. He's been there and He's done that. He's been there and He's done that. And wherever He's been, if He's been in the place of trouble and He overcame trouble, then when I get into trouble, He's done been there and done that. I'm going to be all right, because where He's been, I'm going to win. If He's ever been in pain, then where He's been, I'm going to win, because He's been there and done that and overcame the pain. How about rejection? Some of you have been rejected by a boyfriend or a girlfriend or maybe a marriage partner of many years. But listen, may I remind you that he was rejected of men and a man of sorrows. But where he's been, glory to God, I can win. If I've been rejected, he's been rejected. And bless what? He's no longer rejected. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm telling you, you'll never be rejected. Though my mother and father will forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Where he's been, I'm going to win. In the place of hurt, in the place of confusion, in the place of abuse. You say, well, I've been abused as a child. I'll tell you, where he's been, you can win. They abused him and hurt him and violated him, but I want you to know he overcame the abuse, and you can overcome the abuse. I don't care what your granddaddy or daddy did to you. Father God blessed you, and you're highly favored, and he can heal the scars and the wounds. Oh, friend, somebody give him praise here tonight. I'm on the winning side. Where he's been, I'm going to win. Amen. 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 Would you stand with me tonight? Will you receive the benediction? I want the praise team to come up because I'm going to sing a song. And I want the pastor to lead in the altar service. But what kind of conflict are you having tonight? What kind of conflict? What kind of... God does not will for your life to be full of conflict. He does not will for your life to be full of turmoil. And I just want you to bow your heads right now. And I want you to know that the Lord is with you tonight. I want you to know as we bow our heads in prayer that, Lord, you have surrounded us. You have blessed us tonight, God. And, Lord, we just know that when it seems like we're surrounded, that you will fight our battles. And we know that we've already won tonight. Your head is bowed. Your eyes are closed tonight. If you need Jesus, the greatest peace that you can have is the knowing that your sins are forgiven. Ask him into your heart right now. Say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. And if you're in a conflict tonight, would you lift your hands right now? Come on. And if you're not in a conflict, would you just lift your hands and praise him? This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Yes, you are, Lord. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Oh. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how we fight our battles in prayer.
This is how I fight my battles.
Come on, fight those battles.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Oh, now
it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Oh yeah.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.